It's great to see you all this morning, and I want to say thank you so much for inviting us to come along. I feel as though we know quite a lot of you already through the ministry team, training activities and all those kind of things that have gone on. And we really appreciate the opportunity to come along and engage with you in this kind of brilliant morning this morning when you're commissioning your ministry team. And that's a fantastic place to be. And so this talk really is all around what does this ministry team do and what's the basis on having a ministry team at all in the first place? What are we doing with them? Why are they around? What happens? And those two readings are a really good place to start because they start helping us examine where we are, start thinking about where we are in relationship to God and where we are in relationship to the kingdom of heaven. And that's kind of a big topic, so we're only going to be looking at kind of one aspect of that today. I thought I'd sort of start off with a kind of little bit of background, really, and a bit of a story. Now, that's a fairly spectacular bird that guy's looking at. Don't think I've seen one that looks as spectacular as that, but actually, I quite enjoy watching birds. And one of the places I was doing this some while ago was in Cyprus, and Cyprus is a great place for birds, and they have a nature reserve at one end of the island that's kind of a great place to walk around. And I was there, and I saw some birds I'd never seen before, amazingly, a bird that's really only locally there was sitting on a tree, and actually sitting on the trunk of a tree, and it was only about sort of 10 feet away from me. And it kind of hadn't noticed me at all, and I was just sort of standing there watching this thing, and it was really close, very unusual to see that. And whilst I was watching this bird, it started jumping around a bit, and then I kind of heard this sort of sound further down the path that I'd been coming up. And there was this guy coming up the path with the most enormous radio I'd ever seen, one of those kind of ghetto blaster type things, you know, big loudspeakers, with this sort of Greek-type music coming out of it. And as he came up the path, of course, a bird flew off. And he came up to me, and I was standing there thinking, oh, that's a real pain. He got up close to me, and he was obviously a Greek guy. Unfortunately, he spoke some English. He stopped, and he said, is this the nature reserve? And so I said, yes, this is it. And he said, it's really strange because he said, I haven't seen anything. So you kind of get it that this guy was coming along and he brought his kind of own world with him. This is the world that he inhabited. This is the kind of stuff that he wanted here all the time. And he kind of carried it with him. Whoops, sorry. I'm bringing my own world with me now as well. And he brought this with him. He carried it with him, and he carried it into this space. And because he carried it into this space, he'd affected the rest of the world around him. He kind of infected it with something of him. Not in this case, not in a terribly brilliant way, but that's what he'd done. But when we look back to that time of Jesus, there's a real point in the story, as you might guess, is that Jesus comes into the world, and he brings something of his own world with him. He arrives, and somehow or another, something of his nature, of where he's come from, comes along with him. Do you know, remember when Jesus meets up with Nicodemus? He says something really weird to Nicodemus, because he says to him, I can only talk about things that I've seen and heard. Well, what's he seen and heard? He's going to talk to him about. Well, he's going to be talking to him about things he's seen and heard in heaven. Because that's his natural habitat. And when he comes along, of course, who's going to get this idea that there's this person who's brought his stuff with him? Well, of course, the people who get it first of all are the demons. Why is that? Because they're kind of connected into that kind of spiritual world. And they see immediately and recognize straight away that this is Jesus. This is the guy who's powerful. This is the guy, to them, who is really scary. And I kind of want to encourage you right now, and just don't forget that when you have Jesus living within you, as you're walking down the street, you look scary to anybody else that's actually engaged in some kind of spiritual activity that's not really of God. Because actually we carry some of that with us as well. And of course, the result of that was that they said, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And we weren't really expecting you to turn up yet. But that's a bit scary for us that you have. And of course, Jesus brought this with him, and he also brought the presence of God that with him that actually enabled him to do all of these healing activities as well. Because it says right at the beginning, and this is Mark chapter 1, you know, we haven't got out of the first chapter of Mark yet, and he's gone around healing many people who were sick, curing various diseases, and casting out demons. Wow, this is what you expect to see when the kingdom of heaven becomes present. More than that, he said, do you remember there was that guy who was ill, and his friends brought him along, and they took off the roof of the house and dropped him down to the roof of the house, and he was sick. So what would you have expected Jesus to do? Heal him. That seems like it's a fairly obvious thing to do. But Jesus is seeing more than that. He's seeing what's going on in this guy. He's seeing that this guy, more than the healing, needs something else. He needs to know that he's forgiven and that he's loved. And so the first thing that Jesus does is actually to say to him, I'm going to forgive your sins. And this is Jesus putting a big stake in the ground and saying, this is what I'm about. I'm here not only to do these things where the demons recognize me, but where we can see physical healing. But I'm the guy who's going to bring this restoration as well. Because I have authority to bring healing to you as well by forgiving sins and pushing you back into that right relationship with God. Well, that's quite a bunch of stuff. You get pretty well everything about what Christianity is about in a few seconds there, because in the beginning of this gospel, suddenly Jesus is saying, here I am, I brought my kingdom with me, and this is what it looks like. And so Jesus, throughout the rest of the gospels, is making a massive effort to talk to everybody about what this kingdom is like. If you read the Gospels and you start looking at it from the point of view of seeing what the kingdom of God is that he's bringing to earth now, you just see it everywhere. And if you want to do something sometime this week and you've got a moment, just look through the first 6 or 7 chapters of Mark and just count the amount of times you see the kingdom of God talked about there and see what it means, because that's what's going on. He's bringing it with him, he's bringing it here, and he's saying, here is my goal. I have the right to rule over sin, sickness, death, disease and destruction, and it starts now. That's pretty cool. And if he's going to do that, he's going to bring us back into that brilliant new relationship with God that everybody's been looking for so long. Now he does that in kind of quite a number of different ways. Because people really go after this because they start seeing this guy around and they say, we want some of that. You know, if somebody starts going around healing people, it's a jolly sight easier than having to go into hospital and having people operate on you. And especially then, because you hadn't got all that. You hadn't got the option. And he comes along and he does these amazing healings. I mean, can you just think about them all? You know, this is probably not a complete list. You know, he heals the blind, he heals the deaf, he heals the crippled. He heals the lepers, those people who are, you know, have that woman with uncontrollable bleeding. He heals those that are paralyzed and the sick. And he even copes with the dead ones, which is pretty good. You know, that's really ill. And so how's he doing that? Well, he's saying that this is what the kingdom is like. Do you remember John the Baptist? And John the Baptist came along. Do you remember what he did? What did John the Baptist do? Does anybody know what John the Baptist did? The clue is in the name. He baptized. That's right, he baptized. And one famous person that he baptized was?
Jesus.
Okay, so he baptized Jesus. What happened when he baptized Jesus? Well, lots of stuff happened, okay. But most importantly, okay, there's a voice from heaven who said, this is my son, and he's a pretty good guy. I really like him, and I have confidence in him. Nice. And by the way, he's my son as well, which is really handy. And then he also, what also happened? Yeah, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven. So that's pretty impressive. So the Trinity is all there. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all present at his baptism. And John saw that. So do you think he would have been pretty convinced that this was the Messiah who was going to come? Yeah? You think he'd have been in much doubt about it afterwards? Thought, no, I'm not really sure. It might be, might not. You think he'd be pretty convinced about that? So why does a little while later John the Baptist, when he's in prison, get worried about whether Jesus is really the Messiah? And he sends one of his disciples off to see Jesus and says, are you really him? Are you really the Messiah? And what's Jesus' response?
You see people being healed.
You see stuff happen. Got it. Yeah. He says, just here, he says, what would you expect to see if the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is present now? You'd expect to see the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers cured, the deaf hearing, the dead are raised, and the good news is being preached to the poor. So not only are you seeing these things happen, but the good news, this good news of restoration of our life being brought back into that place, a real connection with God and a real connection with heaven, that's going to happen as well. You don't get one without the other. And the first one is evidence that the second one is going to come. Wow. Go back and tell John that. Great idea. John will get it now, because that's what the whole of the Old Testament was saying. It's coming up to this point when the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is going to break in, and that's going to affect everybody. Now, how do I know that this is true? That this is true today, if you like? Because if I was going to see the kingdom of God break in today, what would I expect to see? You'd expect to see stuff happen. Yeah? And so for a long time, me as a scientist, I was pretty cheesed off with Christianity because I wasn't seeing stuff happen. Because as far as I was concerned, if this was how it was meant to be, stuff should happen. There should be people healed. There should be people who have their lives restored. I should be seeing the evidence of it, not just a kind of go to church and get a nice warm feeling. Because it needed to be more than a warm feeling. And so one of the things that really influenced me was that once I started going into places where I then started seeing people healed, that made a big difference to me. And then I remember the time when I was healed myself as well, because I had for years had this acid reflux problem. It wasn't a massive issue. I wasn't at death's door and it wasn't particularly vile, but I was on some tablets. And it was painful when I didn't take them. And I remember that I was just there in a kind of Christian meeting, and a bunch of people, you know, the guy at the front said, hey, we should just do some praying for people. And a group of people around me just gathered together and they prayed. And it was like this hand reaching into my stomach, moving things around. And I felt this thing go up my throat, become tighter and tighter until I could barely breathe. And then it went away. And then very sadly, the guy at the front said, we're going to do it again. And I had to go through it again, which was a bit of a surprise. But I did actually stop taking the tablets. And I did go back to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, fine. You know, it's encouraging, because suddenly this is real. It has a dimension to it, is the more than we might think it's going to be. And so there were other things that Jesus brought as well, because he brought healing and he brought wholeness. Can anybody think about what kind of things that might mean? Just think about those stories that you've read in the Gospels. Those things where Jesus does more than the physical healing. He does something different. Is anything coming to mind? Well, I've got a little list of things here, because there were people who were fearful. There were people who were ashamed. There were people who were lonely and oppressed and unloved, rejected and worthless. And to give you some examples of that, just think about Zacchaeus. The guy who was the tax collector, who was completely isolated by the people around him. He was lonely and he wanted to catch the sight of this guy, Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He said, I'm going to come and eat in your house today. And what about the woman of Samaria? You know, the woman at the well. You know, the fattest woman in the Bible, as she's known. The woman of Samaria. Anyway, he went and met her. And here was a woman who was not going to go out of her house when everybody else went and got water, because she was ashamed of her life. She was rejected and lonely. She'd had numerous husbands. And she was just unacceptable to the people around her. And what happened there was that Jesus met her, and then she couldn't contain herself. She went off and said to everybody, "Come here and see this man who showed me everything I ever did." Jesus didn't tell him everything she'd ever did he? But there was enough for her to know that this was being accepted. We talked about Zacchaeus, who was just full of great excitement and joy when Jesus said, "I'm going to come to your house." And there were others, you know, like the sort of, you know, woman who was, you know, the immoral woman, the woman in adultery, who went and poured all the oil and perfume over Jesus. Just because Jesus had brought them back. He'd taken away those things that were right at the core of their lives. So not only did the kingdom become present in the world around them that brought healing, but it became present inside them and was bringing, infecting the insides as well. And when I think back to that instant where I'd been physically healed, I remember that a couple of years later, I had some horrible experiences. The company I was involved in building and setting up had gone bankrupt in that sort of economic collapse in 2008. We'd been wiped out and we'd lost all that we'd invested in it. And I was feeling pretty desperate because I didn't know what was happening. And I remember praying with some friends, and they were praying with me, and there was somebody praying there who didn't know anything about my background. And at the end of praying for me, she said, "What's wrong with your stomach?" And of course, the crazy thing was that I had to say, "There's nothing wrong with my stomach," because it had been healed. And the implication was, if God can heal your stomach, don't you think he can sort these other things out as well? You know, that message, you know, went straight in. That was kind of, I got that, really got that, in a way that I don't think any kind of, "Yes, all things work together for good, brother," sort of prayer would have done. And all of those Christian platitudes that we get in those kind of situations. Because I wanted to hear from God. And that's why we want to listen to God when we're praying for people as well. Because we can all say nice things to each other, but I'd like to hear what he's got to say. Because his perspective is really nice. So we get those connections that go beyond where we think what we might go. I mean, it's really sad, though, I think, and as Bill Johnson said, he said, sadly, most Christians believe just enough to get into heaven, but not enough to experience heaven in their lives. And there's quite a jump between those two. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to experience heaven now. I don't want to hang around until I die. It'd be quite nice to have some of that now. And so he then says to his disciples, "Okay, well, I've modelled this. How about it? There's kind of loads of people out there. I'm not going to get to see all of them. This is a big opportunity for you guys." And Jesus starts saying, "Okay, the Lord now chose 72 and sent them out in pairs to visit the towns and the places he planned to visit." Were these the 12 disciples that we know? No. These were 72. Do we know any of them?
No,
haven't a clue. So I kind of like this bunch, because they're the ones we've never heard of. They feel like more like me. They feel like the ones that I can relate to. So he sent them out and said, "Off you go. And what do you tell them to do? Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near." That's interesting, isn't it? What did he say they needed to do? When we talk about going and talking to other people about our brilliant experiences of connecting with God, we start thinking we've got to explain all this to them. Isn't that where we always think we should start? Somehow they've got to understand. But Jesus said, no, start in another place. Show them the kingdom of heaven, present now. The kingdom of God is here now because this stuff happens. And then tell them about it. It's kind of an interesting way of doing things, isn't it? You know, I mean, there's Kate and I were with a friend of hers at a kind of restaurant in London some while ago. And this is when Kate, you know, was still in the wine trade. A friend of hers in the wine trade. And she didn't, you know, we were going to go into a concert together. She isn't a Christian. And she said, well, you go to church, don't you? And I said, yeah, we go to church. And so he said, what is it like? And stained glass windows and sort of people doing nice things and stuff. So I said, well, actually, you know, I'd like to think that we might expect to see God there at work in some way. So she said, well, kind of like making you feel nice. And so I said, well, you know, we might expect to see God heal people as well. So she then said, well, I've got a sore throat. Can God heal that? And then you think, oh, good. Here's a great opportunity. Because then you're on the spot, aren't you? Then you're on the spot. So I said, okay, we'll pray for you now. So we were, you know, this was kind of a busy Chinese restaurant, lots of people pushing and shoving, and we prayed. And she just sort of sat there. And I thought, oh, this is horrible. This is horrible. What's happening now? And so eventually I sort of plucked up enough courage to say, okay, is anything happening? She said, oh, it's amazing. She said, I couldn't move. She said, I kind of felt this kind of heat coming down. And she said, and I just sort of couldn't move. And she said, and then it sort of went all the way through my body. And she said, my sore throat's gone. She said, wow. So then she caught me completely by surprise because she brought a friend along with her as well. And she said, my friend has tonsillitis. Do it again. So anyway, we prayed for a friend, and she was healed as well. And then, of course, the great thing was is that this girl, Louise, then just turned to us and she said, you know, my life's a real mess. You think God can do anything about that as well? Yeah? Did I really need to start explaining the gospel to her? Not really, because she kind of got it already. And then she could start thinking, well, if this is the case, then that might be the case as well. So this healing thing is really handy. It takes us into a place which Paul talks about when he says, my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied upon the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes us into a new place. Because it's our job to broker the reality of the kingdom of heaven into our present reality. Because we as Christians believe that the reality of the kingdom of heaven is powerful and is significant and actually overlaps and overflows into our present world. And that has a reality that can infect and change and overcome the negative realities in our present world today. We broker the reality of heaven here now. And Paul comes out with another great example that's illustrated by this kind of picture here. Because here we have a US ambassador arriving in Israel. And he's going off to see some different towns around the country. And he's going to this town called Arad. I don't know where Arad is, but it doesn't look particularly exciting. But anyway, they've gone out to greet him. And Paul uses this idea about an ambassador coming into a place. Because he says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We are Christ's ambassadors. That's we as in all of us. Do you feel like an ambassador? What are the characteristics of an ambassador? Okay, if you've got an embassy in your own country, when you're inside that embassy, whose soil are you on?
That of the country that the embassy was on.
well done, the country that the embassy belongs to. So if I'm an American and I'm in, you know, representing America, and I'm actually in the US embassy in London, when I'm in the embassy in London, that's US soil, that's not British soil. And when I go outside the embassy as an ambassador and I walk around and I'm doing things, whose laws am I governed by? It's a good question, isn't it? Yeah, you're governed by the laws that you bring with you. You might choose to also obey the laws of the country you're in, because that's being polite. You know, that's being quite reasonable that you should obey their laws. You know, if they say you shouldn't murder people, it's probably a good idea that you don't murder them. But, you know, those are the laws that you obey. But you bring your laws with you from your own country. You bring a little bit of your own soil with you every time you put your foot forward and you walk around in that country. So, if you're ambassadors of heaven, that's all of us, next time you're walking down the road, what soil are you walking on? You're walking on a little bit of heavenly soil. And what are you carrying with you when you come into that country? You're carrying something of those attributes of heaven. Just think, when the American ambassador is coming into that place, the US ambassador, he is carrying something of the USA with him. He's representing its laws, its values, its attributes, its nature, what it's all about as a country. He's representing that, he's bringing it with him, and it's infecting the area around him. Just the same way as we are ambassadors of heaven. And we carry a bit of heaven with us that infects the world around us. And in doing that, we bring all of those attributes with us that come into that place. And we carry with it the authority and the power of the heavenly place as well. And that authority and power is important. Because you remember how Jesus was talking about his authority in one of those passages? Okay, the authority he gives then to the disciples. Do you remember he gave the authority to the 72 and said, off you go, you can heal the sick and tell them that the kingdom of heaven is here because you're carrying it with you. And Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven on earth. He had been given it by his Father. And then he says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So if Jesus is within us and with us, we carry that authority of Jesus with us wherever we go. So not only do you carry heaven with you as an ambassador of heaven, you carry the authority of Jesus, you carry the authority of heaven as well. This is amazing stuff, isn't it? Do you feel empowered by this? Did you know that you're going to be walking down that street after this service and you'll be going down the road thinking, hey, I'll carry that with me. I've got it with me. It's here now. Wow. And the power comes from the Holy Spirit. Because, as Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. Because not only have we got the authority of Christ, the authority of heaven, we also bring the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that enables us to actually bring that power and all of the attributes of heaven into that place so that we can truly witness. And when he's saying you're going to be witnesses to me, it's not just about saying, hey, yes, we like Jesus. It's going to be, I'm going to witness by bringing some heaven into this place now, and you'll be able to see it as well. Because it's going to be there. It's going to be obvious because we're carrying it with us. You know, like it's a bit like that kind of thing where, you know, the when you see a policeman, they have two things about them, don't they? They have authority because they wear the uniform, because they've been commissioned to carry that with them. And then you know that if you go and do something nasty to a policeman, that actually there's power behind them that's going to come and do something about it. That uniform isn't powerful in its own right, but it carries the authority of the power behind it. So we might not be powerful at all. In fact, we are not powerful at all in our own right. But we have the authority that comes from wearing that uniform of Christ. and we carry with it the power of the Holy Spirit that backs it up. But I know what comes to me thinking is, how do I know that's going to work? I'll try that tomorrow. Don't feel terribly confident. Is that fair? Well, I think the interesting thing is Bill Johnson comes out with a great phrase when he says, faith is not the absence of doubt, it's the presence of belief. I may not think I have a lot of faith, but I can always obey. And the amazing thing is that the more you just say, I don't have any faith in this working, I don't really have any confidence of God turning up in that restaurant where we're going to pray for Louise, I just felt as though I'd done something really stupid. But by the time I'd done that, I'd already put my foot in it, so what have I got to lose? And you know, sometimes, you know, understanding the nature of the kingdom of heaven is that sometimes heaven is really, really present and healings happen. Sometimes it's not so present. I mean, you can always say that to somebody. And as I think it was Dave Parker said, don't stop praying for people just because you might be a bit worried. Pray for 500 people and then tell me it doesn't work. And I'll guarantee you'll see the kingdom of God at work. Because Jesus doesn't miss his chance when he's given that opportunity. And the wonderful thing is here is that today you have a ministry team, a bunch of people who have been engaged with healing. And normally I find that ministry teams consist of people who have been healed themselves, because they're the ones that get it. They're the ones that get that I haven't got anything to give. All I can do is have faith and step into that place where I feel like a bit of an idiot. But I know that I have the power and authority of heaven with me to change this place, this atmosphere, this location, this village, this town, this room, my family. And also all of those bits inside me that have been screwed up and messed up for so long. That the kingdom of heaven can come and infect and change in the most astonishing ways. Because we have and bring that power and authority of heaven. So they join together with this mission. And that mission is to bring heaven to earth. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Because you were all born for the impossible. Because the impossible becomes possible when the kingdom of heaven is there. So right now we're going to move on to that point when we're going to take that mission forward. And we're going to co-mission the team who are involved in the ministry team here in this church. Because that mission is combined with the mission of God. Do you remember that Jesus said, I want you to be co-workers with me in my mission. And my mission is to bring heaven to earth. So you can infect this place and change it just by being there. And you're going to do that as ambassadors of heaven. That's really astonishing. That's really astonishing. Because once we do that, we're actually saying, all of this stuff, it's all true. It's all true. And it works today. And we're going to see that work here in this church, in this community, and in this town and environment around it. It's going to be infected by this commission that we all together receive from Christ.